Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hameen, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM 360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM 360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM 360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance. Now Joshua fought the battle of Jericho,
and the walls came tumbling down. Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invite you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
American Muslim 360 is proud to present the Thursday morning edition of A New Day for Al-Islam in America Radio with your host, Yusuf Ramadan.
As-salamu alaykum. Bismillah ar-Rahim, that is peace be unto you. With God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, we'd like to welcome everyone to New Day for Al-Islam in America, American Muslim 360 edition, number one Islamic radio station in the nation. My name is Yusuf Ramadan, and this is the program that deals with current events, trending topics, and issues of concern from the Muslim perspective. As we always say, the Muslim perspective is and always should be the human perspective. So as you can see, we're coming to you a little late today due to some technical difficulties. So please bear with us. And so today we have a very, what we consider to be important program, important information to make you think about our economic conditions. And we want to help to deconstruct the economic news, you know. We'd like to start out by wishing you a happy Islamic New Year, the Hijri New Year, that commemorates the Hijra of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and the nascent Muslim community from Mecca to Medina to escape persecution, to escape persecution that they were receiving at the hands of the Quraysh in Prophet Muhammad's birthplace, city of Mecca. And they were invited. They were invited by the Muhajirun and the Ansars to leave that bad condition that they were in, where they were being threatened. They weren't allowed to pray and practice their way of life openly. They were being boycotted economically, as we is in our title right there, and very harsh conditions. Many of the Muslims, and in particular Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him, his wife, the Lady Khadija, radiallahu anha, died under those conditions, those harsh economic conditions. And so they left, and they went to a better place, as Allah says in the Quran, my earth is spacious. So many times we're not doing well in the place of our birth or certain places, maybe politically or economically, and we have to find another place to go to. When Allah says our earth is spacious, we have to look for something that's more conducive to our growth, more conducive to our growth. And so the Islamic New Year, they say that the Shia community, the Shiite community, they are commemorating the assassination of Imam Hussein, one of the Prophet's grandsons, Hassan Hussein. You know, but most of the community is celebrating, you know, a new year. You know, there's a Jewish New Year, there's a Chinese New Year. You know, a new year is supposed to commemorate a significant change or a significant date in the life of a people. So that's why the Jewish people have their own New Year. We have our New Year, which is on January 1st. You know, for the Western world, celebrates New Year, New Year's Day. January 1st, and the Chinese had their New Year, the Year of the Dragon, you know, and other animals. But the Jewish people have their own New Year as well. So Muslims have a New Year. So this is to show that you have your own orientation, your own orientation. What is important to you in the life of you and your people? Very important, because it was beginning of a new life, beginning of a new life where the Muslims could flourish in Medina al-Munawwarah, the city of light. And it is the model city, became the model city, with Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, being the in charge, being the government there, and setting it up in such a way that it allowed all different people that were there at the time to flourish, that there was no compulsion in the religion. So the Jewish people were allowed to be there. If they were Christians, they were allowed to be there, you know, and allowed to be under, not forced, as Imam Henry was saying on the previous show, no compulsion in religion. So this is supposed to be the model city in the city of light for us. We should be trying to get back to that, you see. And so we're talking about deconstructing the economic news. They're telling us about there's great changes going on today in the world of economics. Great changes. You know, there's economics is really the way that resources are allocated, and there's different ways. You know, they're talking about capitalism as an economic system. You know, capitalism as an economic system. They're talking about socialism as an economic system, and they lead you to believe that you have to choose. You have to be left or right. You have to be left or right, huh? But Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, has taught us that, you know, al-Islam is the Ummatul Wusta, the midway religion, not going too far to the right or too far to the left. We take what's best. We're not extremists. Mm-hmm. And economics is the branch of knowledge concerned with the production, consumption, and transfer of wealth. Huh? Yes. It also the condition of a region or group as regards material prosperity. So there's a great battle. There's a great battle, philosophical battle. You hear people saying, you know, one person on social media was he was presenting himself as an African American or a person of color. And he was critical. He was critical of our freedom, many freedom leaders, called civil rights leaders, in particular, Dr. King, Martin Luther King, who's pretty much accepted, universally accepted, as being a man of peace, of high ideals, et cetera. But he said that, you know, he considered Dr. King to be a communist. A Marxist is what he was saying. And yes, it's true. Dr. King said of himself that he considered himself to be a socialist. So he had a critique. He had a critique of the capitalist system, you know. And we see now that, Dr. Cornel West is running for office, and he has a critique. He has a critique of the material system, the economic system of capitalism that we have that leaves out the poor. And they leave us to believe, or it doesn't consider the poor people. They lead us to believe you have to either choose between the right, which is capitalism, or the left, which is socialism, those two economic systems. But they're also informed by political systems. So that they say, so we can't accept either one wholeheartedly. We just can't swallow it lock, stock, and barrel, because our leader, and teacher, Imam W.D. Muhammad Rahim Allah, has taught us that the zakat is not charity. It is an economic system. So our religion is an economic system because we accept certain things and we reject other things. We know that much of capitalism is based upon riba, and people would define it as interest. But it's really, as the Imam taught us, any unjustified return on an investment. So they sent a person to prison. They sent a person to jail because they came up with a pill, a pharmaceutical that was needed for people's health, and they were charging ridiculous amounts for it, $1,000 a pill and things of that nature, $1,000 a pill. So, you know, our religion teaches us not to be, on the other hand, not to be spendthrifts. We're taught not to be spendthrift. We're showing one of these rappers, big rapper, Rick Ross. Rick Ross claiming that he had bought a $20 million watch. $20 million watch, And they showed Floyd Mayweather in South Africa claiming to have spent $6 million in a Gucci store. You know, so one brother said to me, well, the watch really wasn't worth $20 million. He didn't pay $20 million, but they gave him the watch for him to advertise it and get other people to buy it. But it doesn't lose my point. My point is that there are people who think that it would be sensible if they had $20 million to use that money to buy a doggone watch or to go buy clothes with somebody else's design and name on it because you can afford it or you have it in your – just because you can afford it don't mean that you should buy it. And I'm not just talking about from an economic point of view, whether it's intelligent or not, whether it's intelligent or not to spend that kind of money. If you can, you know, it is going to leave you with enough money, you might have $1 billion, and $6 million wouldn't dent it, okay? But it's a spendthrift. It's a waste of resources when there are other people. See, Zakat is teaching us that we have an obligation. They talk about the haves and the have-nots. We are obligated. The haves are obligated to take care of the have-nots. So because we ran a little behind in opening up our program, we're going to go to some very important announcements for you. So please don't touch that dial. We'll be back in a while.
God's peace be upon you. God's love be upon you. God's compassion be upon you. The one soul of humanity. May we let it be in thought and in action. On behalf of CWSC Intelligentsia, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected, American Muslim 360, the Speakers Bureau, the Model Community National Resource Directory, the Volunteer Human Resource Network, Scholarship, the Learning Lab, Ambassadors, National Leadership Advisory Council, Internship, Leadership Development Council, the Think Tank, Strategic Family Institute, the Bookstore. May we share completely humanity in spirit and in form, from thought to action. God's peace, God's love, God's compassion. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to AM 360. Join your host, Manira Habil, every Tuesday from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time as we explore relationship topics addressing what we didn't know, what we've learned, and what we need to know and why. Because on this show, it's all about courtship and marriage.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Edward Willis, advisor at Graceline Community, asking you to join me in supporting community-wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360. Make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or phone in your pledge to 910-317-0297. Again, make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or by phone at 910-317-0297. Together, we can remake the world. Thank you.
And we're back. I'm here in 60 seconds. I hope the show is not going to cut off. It gave me a 60-second warning there. But We're going to bring you another clip to help to elucidate our subject matter today. And this is by an economist. He's from the left. He is a socialist. And socialism is a political and economic theory of social organization which advocates that the means of production, distribution, and exchange should be owned or regulated by the community as a whole, as opposed to what they refer to in capitalism as private ownership of the means of production. So as I said, we don't go too far to the left or the right. When capitalism is known as an economic and political system, but they are very closely aligned, in which a country's trade and industry are controlled by private owners for profit. An era of free market capitalism. Now, they use that free market capitalism from the French word laissez-faire. But I don't know a time that there ever was a free market where they say hands off the market, you know, just let the market operate without any external controls upon it. And they talk about supply and demand as being one of the elementary issues of economics. Supply and demand, you know, when the supply is high and the demand is low, there should be the price would come down. Conversely, when the supply is low and the demand is high, that would push the price up. But Imam Muhammad taught us that, Rahim Allah, that they control the thinking. They have gone, he's made us aware of that they will make a demand high by affecting your psychology. And he related to at the time, you know, the movie that came out, which they actually did a remake of the movie, Superfly. So he said they had Superfly movie, they had a Superfly car, they had Superfly hairstyle, they had Superfly clothes, they even had a store in New York and maybe some other places called Superfly. Of course, it was in our community, not other communities. And the people wanted to emulate that, and we know that they use that type of marketing and branding when they come out with a popular film. They'll have the toys or whatever, or caps or mugs or whatever the case may be, and you can go to McDonald's and buy those action, and those action figures will come if you buy a Big Mac or some French fries. So this type of cross-marketing that they do, and they will, even during your favorite show, whether it's Seinfeld or Friends or whatever, they will highlight certain brands of cereal or coffee, etc. You see? So they're using that as a psychology, as a psychological ploy to get you to buy those things. Now here is Professor Wolf giving a little more insight into it. I'm sorry, we'll inshallah, we will take time on another program where we have more time to go into it a little more, because we, as I said, we started late, but I want to bring some of these ideas to your attention.
Forum, two organizations that work together a great deal, and that together bring these presentations to you. I'm particularly proud that we're bringing it to you as we normally do on the second Wednesday of every other month, because we're back on schedule. Democracy at Work, in particular, has had a very difficult spring of this year. Growing pains erupted into serious internal organizational difficulties. I am very happy to tell you that we are over them now. We're back. We're back on schedule. We are able now to do all we've done before, and we will be rolling out new activities, I think, you will find exciting. If you wish more information, just go to our website, newly designed, by the way, democracyatwork.info is where you go, and you will see what some of the new directions and new initiatives that we are rolling out and will continue in the weeks ahead. Today's presentation is about a historical change of extraordinary importance. We're living through it. We will be living through it for quite a while. It's nothing less than a shift of modern capitalism from a tendency in most cases to shy away from endorsing and supporting a powerful authoritarian state, the shift is now to embrace that, to welcome an authoritarian state, to push it to be, if anything, more authoritarian. What do I mean is part of what I will begin, but what it implies for all of us is what I will concentrate on. To begin, let's be clear about what we mean by capitalism. It is that particular economic system, different from slavery, different from feudalism, different from a variety of other economic systems, and the key difference is the way capitalism organizes production, the production of the goods and services upon which every modern society depends. Indeed, every past society did as well. Capitalism organizes it as follows. A very small group of people, quite a small minority, are called employers. They are the ones who decide exclusively what each workplace will produce, what technology it will use, where the production will take place, and what will be done with the output. On the other side of every workplace is the big majority. Those people are called employees. They do the overwhelming bulk of the work, the actual production of goods and services. But they are excluded from the decisions what to produce, how to produce, where to produce, and what to do with the net output. Those decisions made by the employers explain, of course, why they are politically in the driver's seat in capitalist societies, why they are the ones that become wealthy, whereas the employees in general don't, etc., etc. You are all familiar, since you all live, as I do, in capitalist systems. And why do I focus on the relationships of people in production? Because that's the key difference. Feudalism didn't have employers and employees. Employers didn't exist in feudalism. Nobody hired workers. The relationship was completely different. The lord and the serf were bound together by religious obligations, personal obligations. Slavery was different yet again. There we didn't have employers and employees either. We had masters and slaves, and the slaves were the property of the masters, as were all the other inputs to production. What the systems do have in common, though, is that small group at the top, employers, feudal lords, masters, and a vast army of people underneath them doing the bulk of the work, slaves, serfs, and employees. Now, in modern capitalism, particularly that in the West, we refer to it often with the adjective private capitalism. And I want to begin by talking about how private capitalism is turning more and more to an authoritarian state. And my focus is going to on the United States because of its leadership and importance in the world of private capitalism. And all the word private means is that the capitalists, the employers, are not operatives of a state. They don't hold a position in a government. They are not a state official of any kind. They are private individuals who undertake privately run, owned production. And they have been, for most of the history of capitalism, leery of authoritarian states. They were not interested in them. They wanted the state to be weak, distant, and mostly to leave the private capitalist alone. They used the French phrase, leave me alone, laissez-faire, to describe the kind of capitalism they endorsed. And private capitalism has been the norm in the United States, Western Europe, Japan, the old centers of capitalism over the last century or two. Why then might they today be turning to an authoritarian state? What do I mean by an authoritarian state? I mean a state that is not only allowed but welcomed to intervene in the economy in all kinds of ways that used to be taboo, that used to be opposed by private capitalists. Far from opposing it, now most of them welcome it. Yes, there are groups that still are leery about this and don't want it. It's not universal, but the shift is unmistakable. And I'm only going to have time to give you some examples of the shift as it's going on.
So you listen to New Day for Islam in America, American Muslim 360 edition, number one Islamic radio station in the nation. We have some other important announcements for you. So please stay tuned, and we'll be right back on the other side.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Dabrita Hadi, director of the MCNRD Model Community National Resource Directory, reminding volunteers of our upcoming MCNRD Social Connect Conference every last Sunday of the month, 1 o'clock p.m. to 2 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We look forward to your participation, so please check your email for conference call information. Thank you so kindly. Assalamu alaikum.
Peace be with you and welcome to Positive Solutions to Critical Issues, hosted by yours truly, Dr. Jamal Rashid and instructor Henry Hasid. This program is sociologically as well as psychologically inclined, with Fitler as its base. We examine the root seed to multiple effects that impact our holistic daily lives. So tune in each and every Thursday morning from 7 to 8 Eastern Standard Time here on American Muslim 360. Thank you and have a pleasant day.
All right, so we are back. We're going to continue with Dr. Wolf.
One way to understand it is to recognize that words which were until recently celebrated are now denounced. Globalization. We were told from the 1960s onward that as corporations expanded around the world, they could become more efficient. They could get closer to the sources of inputs they needed, the natural resources and so on. They could take advantage of lower wages to cheapen the prices of things we here in the United States or Western Europe or Japan consume, and so on. Globalization made capitalism more dynamic, more efficient. We were to celebrate. And our political leaders, Republican and Democrat alike, fell all over themselves cheerleading for globalization and for the other big term, neoliberalism, whose idea was simply, let these companies go around the world. Don't hold them back. Don't limit them. Don't regulate them. Let them go. Notice again, laissez-faire. Let them go. Let the private folks do what they want. The government should keep out of it. And the corporations went. They went all over the world, particularly to China, because the wages there were much lower than in Western Europe, North America, and Japan. And the market in China was growing faster than in Western Europe, North America, and Japan. And if capitalists know anything, they know that if you want to succeed in competition, you better go where the wages are lowest and the market is growing fastest, because that's where you will succeed. Well, the problem is, over the last 30 to 40 years, as capitalists globalize, going to China as well as many other countries, and that was true not only of American capitalists, but of Western European and Japanese capitalists as well, the Chinese manage the process differently from the way other countries in Asia, Africa, Latin America, the so-called Global South, how they had managed it. The Chinese made sure it would go to the advantage of development in and by China. So that by today, China has demonstrated that it got a bigger set of gains out of neoliberal globalization than the countries that invented and produced neoliberal globalization. a kind of surprise has dawned on the world. And why am I telling you this? Because you probably already know it. I'm telling you it because the competition from China particularly, but also now from its allies, particularly the so-called BRICS, B-R-I-C-S, Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. China and these allies are now a bigger economic powerhouse than the G7, which is the United States, and its allies in Western Europe, plus Canada and Japan. The BRICS alliance produces about 33% of the world's output. The United States and its G7 alliance produce about 29%. In many fundamental ways, the dominance of the old Western centers of capitalism, Western Europe, North America, and Japan, is over. And they have been and will continue to be replaced by the ascendancy of the BRICS alliance. To give you simply one indication, economic growth this year, 2023, is expected to be between 0 and 0.2% in Europe. In the United States, it's expected to be between 1 and 2%. In the People's Republic of China, it's expected to be between 5 and 5.5%. Inflation in Europe is devastating, over 10% for the area. In the United States, it's bad, but 5%. The inflation rate in the People's Republic of China this year is 0.7%. There is no contest. Why am I telling you this? Because the United States' reaction, and that of Europe as well, to the rise of China and the BRICS has been a major adjustment in the direction of wanting the activity of an authoritarian state. In the place of neoliberalism and globalization, we are turning to economic nationalism. Here are some of the signs that I'm sure you've noticed. The United States is demonizing China, top to bottom, reminiscent of the Cold War when that was done to the Soviet Union.
So we don't have time to really go into that. We'll take it up on another show. There's so many aspects to this conversation, but we do want to give you an opportunity to ask a question or make a comment. So if you care to do so, please press 1 on your dial, and we will bring you into the queue. I don't see anyone at this particular time, but if you find this conversation stimulating, you'd like to add to it, please press 1 on your dial. I know that we started rather late, and there's other aspects of the conversation that we wanted to cover, but time doesn't permit us to do so today. So, all right, if no one would like to chime in at this time, ask a question or make a comment, we will continue. So this comes down to a clash of philosophies, you know, and these people are led to believe that they're following a certain philosophy. We're Muslims, so we are not what they call godless communists, obviously, because we're believers in God, okay? But also, on the other side, that's what they refer to as the left, socialism, communism is as the left. Now, this particular professor, he is a socialist. And he's talking from the left, you know. So there's things that we can garner from both sides, as we said, and use, you know, chew up the meat and spit out the bones, you know. We don't swallow everything lock, stock, and barrel, okay? As I say, you know, the time is running out. If you'd like to ask a question, make a comment, please don't wait for the last minute. We only have about 8 minutes of air time that we can allow you to do that. So please take advantage of the time if you care to do so. Now, you find they're using this epithet of being a socialist, you know. They're using that to discredit anyone that they feel that they oppose politically. So they're calling Martin Luther King a socialist, which is not incorrect. He called himself a socialist also, but he was obviously a man of religion, a man of God, a Christian minister. So they use that to discredit him. And most people throughout the world have celebrated Dr. King as being a believer, being a man who wanted better for his people and wanted an end to segregation and Jim Crow. But also, they say that when he delved into the field of economics, that's when he went to Memphis, Tennessee, to support the garbage workers that were there and others, that, and also when he spoke out against the Vietnam War, that's when they really decided to eliminate him. So you may not automatically make the connection between war and economics. You may not make that connection, but there's a big, powerful, strong connection, you see. So we're looking at certain things going on now. UPS workers are going on strike. We know there's major strikes and upheaval that they don't even talk about very much in the American media, and that is in France, also in Israel. Great social disruption. But when they don't want to talk about those things, and they showed us that during after the aftermath of the George Floyd killing, when there was disruption, social disruption, massive protests all over the country, they just decided to stop covering it. They decided to stop covering it and make it seem as though it wasn't actually happening. You see, so we have a major strike. The WGA, the Writers Guild of America, and SAG-AFTRA, the Screen Actors Guild, and American Federation of Television, American Federation of Television, it's escaping me what the acronym stands for now, but it's the actors. They're joining with the WGA. And people are saying, as a brother said to me, oh, they're greedy. They're causing other ancillary industries to lose money. Because now they're fighting against AI, artificial intelligence, taking their images and using it in perpetuity, where they only pay them one time, or what they have, a ChatGPT, which you may be familiar with, where you can just go and you can say, well, hey, I'd like for you to write me a 25,000 word essay on the community of Imam W.D. Muhammad, and it'll knock it out for you in 5 minutes or less. You may text or send an email, and you begin to write something. And you write good, and it pops up right behind it, morning or good evening. And you can choose. So now they've taken it to the next level where they'll put you out of the job, because the writer, they will just put a theme for a subject, and then it will write the whole thing. It will write it out. Now, it won't be as detailed as one of us writing about our experience, Community of Imam W.D. Muhammad, but they will go to the internet and all these other public sources and just snatch everything and then put it together. And so the people are saying, well, hey, you putting us out of a job. You'll just have us to come in and do a little bit and pay us for that, and then say, well, thank you very much, we'll take it from here. Or the streaming services, they're saying that, you know, they will pay you X amount of dollars, which is not really up for negotiation, for your content, and they'll continue to stream it in perpetuity, which is one of the words that they use. So there's a real battle. There's a real economic battle going on. And most of those people are making a lot of money, people in those entertainment industry or other industries, and they are allocating peanuts to the people that work for them. And they would rather, so the brother that was talking to me, he was saying, well, causing the restaurants and other industries around that to fail because they're not. So if you're looking at your favorite show and they're showing you reruns, and you might have watched a rerun, but you don't want to watch it three times or four times, so that causes the advertisers to say, well, we're not going to advertise with this station because no one is watching. And yes, the rich people can hold out longer than the poor people. But the thing about greed and avarice, which characterizes those who consider themselves capitalists, they if they made $1 billion this year, they want to make $1 billion next year. You would think that they would say, well, hey, I already have $1 billion. There's no need for me to really push that. No, you got it all wrong. Because they have investors, et cetera. So when those advertisers are refusing to advertise with them because their content is not there, because the writers are not working, this is what's going to push them to the table as well, negotiating table. They have to negotiate, not because they're going to be thrown out into the street. They're not going to be thrown out into the street like the people on the bottom, or have their cars repossessed, or have their insurance canceled. But they equally want to continue to make large sums of money, hand over fist, year over year. This is what people fail to take. So I believe that they will resolve this strike. Hopefully within a month or so, you know, that's what's being predicted. We don't know for sure because it is very hard to bring them to the table. People are not being brought to the table. So just like this particular show or the show that preceded me, Imam Adam, Jamal Rashid, and Imam Henry, you know, they're putting their content. This is our content, our intellectual property. You see, so they're using these writers and other people to produce shows, content that people are watching, and then advertisers are coming on and giving them large sums of money because people are watching. But they don't want to adequately compensate the people. You see, they're making more and more money, but they're paying the people. As Dr. Wolf was referring to, it's not slavery where they're working for nothing, but you've heard that expression before, slave wages, and you've heard the expression before, the working poor. Many people are working and they're poor. They have a job, you know, they may have a very menial job, a job that's not paying too much, and they have to work more than one job. And the rents and everything with the inflation that the professor was talking about, you know, is going up, particularly in cities like New York, where they say the median rent is $4,000 a month. People can't afford that. I'm going to reach out to my brother here. Assalamu alaikum, brother Imam. I see you have your hand up.
Yes, wa alaikum as-salam, Imam Yusuf Ramadan. Praise be to Allah. Excellent information that you are sharing with us. It's very educational, and I'm quite sure that we can draw from it and use it to improve on our lives. You mentioned the global economy, that we are in a global economy now.
Yes.
We have AI, artificial intelligence, we have robotics, we have computers that can put us in touch with someone almost in the blink of an eye on the other side of the earth. We have, so we're in a highly technological digital age, but, and it is dependent upon a mineral that is mined out of the earth. And there's only one spot on the earth where this mineral is found. It is called, cobalt. It is found in the Democratic Republic of Congo. And they are using almost slave labor and children to mine the cobalt practically with their bare hands, going down in holes and tunnels and contaminated water that is contaminated with lithium. And here it is, the whole world is resting on that misery. We take great joy in our phones and our speed of light, instantaneous stuff presented to us. But no one is addressing the bottom of the distribution. No one is protesting against Apple, Microsoft, all of these high-tech companies that are utilizing slave labor. Just let's check with Sheikh or Google. Type in Democratic Republic of Congo, and then type in cobalt mining. You will see horrendous scenes of women and children, the poor. They're just like ants. They look like ants digging in these contaminated mines to extract cobalt. The most they can earn is $2 or $3 per day.
Wow.
While we're enjoying the luxuries of high tech, but we need to look to the source and see if we can put pressure on these high tech companies to relieve that suffering. I'll stop right there, my brother. Praise be to Allah. I appreciate you and what you bring each and every Thursday here on A New Day for Islam in America. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Well, I appreciate your input very much, and that is very vital information that you gave us. You know, it highlights, it underscores a lot of the things that the topics that I was discussing. You know, it really makes the point. You know, and I'm looking at a particular program more now, and it's saying that this air date today we know is 7/7/20. The air date is 5/11. So they don't have, this is a rerun. This is a rerun. And it's really going to affect other shows that they can't do reruns on. They can't do reruns on. This is Tamron Hall I'm looking at now. The air date is February 13th. Okay? So they don't have writers because the writers are on strike. And they're refusing to come to the negotiating table. These are people that are making large sums of money, millions and millions of dollars, and they don't want to break off any of those profits towards the people on the bottom, you know. And you really gave a very, very stark example. Of course, those people are being paid $2 and $3 a day in cobalt. We can only imagine that without it, we wouldn't be able to be communicating the way we are now without it. So the value that it has, you know, they're paying people what they will accept because of the conditions that they're in. And that is really tantamount to slavery. That's slavery. But you can say, well, the slaves didn't get paid at all. But actually, in one way or another, they did. They got a place as rough as it was to lay down like an animal. They got food, which really was the leftover, the scraps or whatever. But if you really look at it from an economic viewpoint, it did cost. They had to spend money to purchase those slaves, The money didn't go to the people. So please don't misunderstand what I'm trying to say. What I'm trying to say is there's a cost for everything. But they're wringing out of those human beings. They are exploiting those human beings. And that exploitation is the same as it was. It hasn't changed. That hasn't changed. Those people are living in squalor. In what they call the Democratic Republic of the Congo. I don't know how much democracy is going on there. But these are words that they just throw around, and that's why we call it deconstructing. We want to deconstruct the economic news that's going on today. It's very, very important, okay? And we thank you, all of you, for listening. You've been listening to New Day for Islam in America, American Muslim 360 edition, number one Islamic radio station in the nation. So please continue to educate yourselves. We pray a lot that you have a Jumu'ah Mubarak, a blessed Jumu'ah tomorrow. Look into the Hijri, the Islamic New Year. They call it the Arab New Year, but it's actually the Islamic New Year. And the reason why it's so important that we designate it as such and continue to learn from that glorious history. So until next time, assalamu alaikum.